Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com.
This evening we'll be in Genesis chapter 21. We'll be looking at the first 8 verses. With the word open before us, let us go to the Lord in prayer. O gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks unto you. We give thanks for the promises which are found in your word. We give thanks that you, a faithful, steadfast, loving God, have made these promises with your people. Lord, as we turn to this passage this evening, I pray that we would see your steadfast love, your sovereignty to be able to make them, the promises, come to fruition. And Lord, we give thanks and praise to your name. Lord, we pray that you would work mightily within us through the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear now the word Lord from Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 to 8. This is the word of our living God. Please take heed how you hear. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born of him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on that day that Isaac was weaned. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. 25 years ago, 1996, Motorola introduces the Motorola Star TAC, a wearable cellular telephone, and the first clamshell mobile phone. 1996, John Howard became the second longest serving prime minister in Australia, was elected and sworn in. In 1996, Braveheart won the Best Picture at the Academy Awards. The Nintendo 64 and Super Mario 64 was released, the first kind of 3D broad game to be released. eBay was started. Tickle Me Elmo was running off the shelves. DVDs were released in Japan. Dolly the Sheep was successfully cloned in Scotland. The Summer Olympics were held in Atlanta with a bombing that would happen, which would kill a person and 111 people injured. Bob Dole was defeated by Bill Clinton in the election. And Pokemon was introduced to the world 25 years ago. 25 years is a long time if you think about it, but especially it's a long time if you think about someone waiting for someone to fulfill a promise. Can I borrow your car? I promise I will give it back. 25 years has come and finally they return it to you. We give up on promises within moments. Someone borrows your pen, your favorite pen, and soon you realize you're not getting it back. This promise is not going to be fulfilled. 25 years is a long time to wait. 25 years backwards is 1996. 25 years forwards is 2046. It's a long time into the future. And tonight we see Abraham and Sarah finally have something to hold that shows God's faithfulness and his promise. Way back in Genesis 12, when God first called Abraham. High Priest John, Genesis 12, on the first Sunday of 2021. Now it is Sunday number 21. That's 140 days ago I preached on Genesis 12. Now we get a sense of time from between Genesis 12 to Genesis 21, but not 25 years. 25 years is a long time to wait. And tonight we see that God does indeed fulfill his promise. And we see that in 3 points. Firstly, God's promises are on time, even though they're not on our time. They're on time, even though they're not on our time. You see this. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. God's promises rarely happen like a microwave meal. You open the freezer and you put it in the microwave and press the button. Often God's promises are more receiving a seed in which you plant and sow and water and it grows. You harvest, you mill, you produce the bread, you cook the bread, mix the bread, and then finally the bread is here. The promises of God take a long time. Eventually that small bud begins to appear on the tree. There's the first sign of fruit that comes out. But day after day, God does fulfill his promises. They're just in his time. And that's what God's promises are like. In Genesis 12, God makes 5 promises to Abraham in his call that he would give him land. But at this moment, Abraham is still a pilgrim, a sojourner. He would make him a great nation. Well, before you have a great nation, you need someone to be able to carry your name on. And yet he now only has a son. But also, to make a great nation, not only you need a son who to be able to carry your line, you need land to be able to live. And he doesn't have land at this point. Make his name great. Partially, that might be true. Abimelech doesn't know him beforehand. God would protect him. We've seen this. God has indeed protect him. But also that he would be a blessing to others. And God made these promises by the statement, I will. I will make your name great. I will make you a great nation. Whomever blesses you, I will bless. Now he doesn't have a land or a son. Land will be after 400 years. Even he has been told that he will not have it. But in chapter 15, he was told that Eliezer of Damascus would not be his heir, but his heir would come from his own loins. And that while the time was still ticking, seasons came and went, and yet they still not have a promise to be able to hold, something tangible in their hands. But yet finally, the child was there. Just as he says in verse 1, just as he had promised. Not only just as he had promised, the time in which he had spoken. The time in which he had given. Now I can try and be a patient person, but there's sometimes I order something online and I'm just so eager for that to come. And I'm just waiting for that knock on that door for the person to deliver this package. And you get this estimated date of arrival. And you're so eager for that package to come. But then it's been held up in a different area. They've misplaced it. It doesn't come on the day which you expect. However, God never has a delay. He's not held up with processing times or misplacing his promise. He doesn't just merely make it happen eventually. It happens exactly on his time. And his promise come with a guarantee. It's on time every time. And we still have today unfulfilled promises of God. We might doubt. We might have moments where we still question. And I'm sure Abraham and Sarah had times in their life where they would have to think if this was actually happening. Where they'd rush down to Walgreens and have to get a pregnancy kit, but yet it would return negative. 25 years waiting for this promise to be fulfilled. However, there's a difference between Abraham and Sarah and us. Is that we have the story of Abraham and Sarah. and also all the pages of Scripture up to Revelation, where we see God's faithfulness to be able to fulfill His promises on His time. And God's track record only gets better. His percentage doesn't fall. If He fulfills one of one promises, it's still 100%. But every time we see more and more God's faithfulness to be able to fulfill His promises. And God's timing is difficult, because we do not know. However, we do know it will happen because He has promised it. Like when we were waiting for Nora to be born, we do know that she would come. We won't be 20 years down the line and said, well, she just doesn't want to come out yet. We knew she would come. We just didn't know when she would come. And that's the same with God's promises. We know that He will fulfill His promises. We just don't know exactly when. We have many promises in the Bible that Christ said He would come again. We just do not know when. But we do know it's in His perfect timing. And when Christ comes again, we know that the promise is that every tear would be wiped from our eyes. No more tears, no more pain, no more sickness. We do know the promise says that our bodies will be resurrected, just like Christ's body. That we will spend eternity in the presence of God. That nothing would separate us. That He will keep us secure. That our sins will finally be forgiven once for all, as we turn in our glorified state. But they will happen in God's timing. It's exactly what happened when Christ came. In Galatians 4:4, Paul explains that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. That exactly at God's perfect timing, Christ entered the world. God's promises will happen. The second thing we see is God's promises are done in His way, even though we might try to achieve them through our ways. God's promises are done in His way, even though we might achieve them in our or other ways. God had promised to give Abraham offspring. And they would come from Abraham, as said before in Genesis 15. This man shall not be your heir, Eliezer of Damascus, but your very own son will be your heir. Then you remember chapter 15, this promise that the offspring will come. And in chapter 16, then they turn to Sarah's plan for Hagar to give Abraham a son. We know that didn't end well. Even later in chapter 21, we see them trying to establish their own plans. And even Abraham asked God in chapter 17 that Ishmael might live before you. I know you said you would give me a son, but is there a way that you could use my way to be able to carry about your promise? He'd just been told that the promised son would come through Sarah. But Abraham even turns at that point and says, well, why not try it my way? Why not? What about Ishmael? Just before, he had told that Sarah, your wife, will be called Sarah, and I will bless her. Moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings shall come from her. And then he turns around in verse 18 and says that Ishmael might live before you. His promise causes Abraham to laugh and ultimately asks for Ishmael to be the promised son. I know you have a plan, Lord, but can't you just, wouldn't it be easier to use Ishmael? Even though they thought they could accomplish God's plan in a different way, God was very clear that God fulfills His promises His way. He directly responds to Abraham's question, "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him." Abraham and Sarah would have a son of promise. You would think, what does it matter who the son is? Just carry the line of promise through whoever. One out of two isn't too bad. He made the promise first to Abraham. Why not use Ishmael? But that wasn't God's plan. Thomas Brooks explains, you must distinguish between delays and denials. God may delay us. When he does not deny us, he may defer the giving of mercy and yet at last give very mercy begged. God makes a promise. And we need to be able to work that out, to be able to understand that God's delays are then not denials of his promises, that God's timing is perfect and his ways are perfect. God's promises and plans are accomplished through his way. As he promised in Genesis 12, "I will make you a great nation. I will establish the covenant with him, Isaac, as an everlasting covenant." And this passage shows very clearly, I think you, if it wasn't scripture, you might say it was over the top. You might ask the question, did I mention whose son this is? The Lord visited Sarah, verse 1. Lord did to Sarah, verse 1. Verse 2, Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son. And Abraham called his son, born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac. In verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son, Isaac, was born to him. And she said in verse 7, Abraham and Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son. Over and over it points out this son is the son of promise who comes from Abraham and Sarah. Whose son is it? It is Abraham and Sarah's son that the Lord did fulfill his promise the way that he had said. Proverbs 19 explains that many are the plans in the mind of men, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Here, they had many plans to be able to bring about their own choosing of a promised seed, yet it came through the way that the Lord had orchestrated, had told. Even in spite of these many detours that Abraham and Sarah sought to take to achieve the promises of God for himself, God still fulfilled his promise to them in spite of themselves. Abraham tries to popularize a song which has not even yet been written, made famous by Frank Sinatra, "And more and much more than this, I did it my way. But the Lord said that I will do it my way." God is more gracious just to be able to work with these man's ways. He doesn't just use with what he's got, merely just orchestrating his promises to carry out any which way, that the end, the ultimate end, is different. The Lord said that he would establish this covenant between Isaac and the generations forever. And even that Abraham did, in fact, do what God commanded him, that the promise of the sign of the covenant was given to Isaac on the eighth day. In verse 4, Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. This is pointed out that he did what God had said. Are we not grateful of God that he is stubborn enough, and the way I use that word is in a positive sense, not to change his plan? Many people wanted Jesus to come, and to be king, to overpower the Roman Empire their way. But he came to fulfill the promise which God had laid out, that the snake crusher would come and crush the head of the serpent. He didn't come to accomplish their plans. He came to accomplish God's plan. Not to come and do the will of the people, but the will of God. To die on the cross for our sin. He came to fulfill God's plan, which he had promised from the beginning, to crush the serpent's head. And the people merely saw God's promise to crush the head of an evil government or the oppressive people. But God's plan was far greater than that. Aren't we grateful that God is stubborn enough to be able to fulfill his promises in his way? Wouldn't we seek to fulfill his promises and turn to comfort and not trials? Wouldn't we seek wealth and not Christ? Wouldn't we seek the desires of the world and not God? Wouldn't we choose the easy way and not the hard way? It's like Christian in Bypath Meadow. Christian thought it would be easier to go over Bypath Meadow. It's merely just walks parallel. This path that God has set out for us is bumpy, it's hard. But there's this way that I go to Giant Despair, the castle of despair. But even him going that way, God knew that they would go that way. That's why he has the key in his bosom. We have great confidence that God doesn't cave because of our foolish mistakes. He doesn't just merely make the best of the worst outcome, make the best of what is given to him, but he fulfills his promise exactly how he says he will do it. And thirdly, God's promise. God's promises are worthwhile, even if they seem impossible. God's promises are worthwhile, even if they seem impossible. Previously, both Abraham and Sarah both laughed at this promise when they heard about it. Abraham fell on his face in chapter 17 and laughed to himself and said, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" In chapter 18, Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" They both laugh and pose a question showing the impossibleness of this task. Can God really do what he says he will do? And the response to their laughter is really about themselves, that they are too old. I'm not sure about what point this becomes in someone's life when they decide to be able to face the music. And you decide in your life you can no longer cover your wrinkles. There's no fact in trying to hide. But both Abraham and Sarah have reached the point where they no longer pretend to try and be young, but they both call themselves old. And again, this passage points out the impossibleness of this task of the promised son coming through Abraham and Sarah. In verse 2, "And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age." And in verse 5, "Abraham was 100 years old." In verse 7, who would have said to Abraham and Sarah should nurse children? "Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." In the maternity ward at Hebron, all these young couples are cooing over their young infant child. But yet here is Abraham at 100 years old and Sarah at 90 years old, their wrinkled hands holding this fine baby. It's an impossible task that seemed like a joke to them. It seemed like a joke rather than a promise. Yet God still fulfilled his promise. Previously, they've laughed at it. I think both of them carrying some negative sense, but now they laugh with it with joy. Isaac, I've mentioned, literally means he laughs. Now, in this passage, who is the one laughing? Is God laughing? Look, I have fulfilled my promise to you. You said it could not be done. Is Abraham laughing? God has fulfilled the promise to me that he said he would do it 25 years ago. Or is Isaac laughing with joy? Or the people who hear, we don't know exactly who is the one laughing. But previously it was a joke, but now it is joy. They have joy in their hands. They have something to hold. The promise is fulfilled. No longer they just have a sign to admire the stars in the sky, but they have a baby to hold. Previously, in chapter 18, Abraham does the speaking and Sarah is silent. But now, Sarah does speak. And Abraham, in this passage, is silent. Sarah says that God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. The promise God made to Abraham in chapter 12, but also to Sarah, as we saw in chapter 12 after going into Egypt. God did not merely just protect Abraham, but Abraham and Sarah as well. And it's in Hebrews 11 that not only Abraham is mentioned as a man of faith, but Sarah is mentioned as a woman of faith. That by faith, Sarah received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Even when she was past the age, an impossible task. And this becomes quite common for God's people. This is called the barren woman motif. It flows throughout scriptures. That God promises, and yet in physical human limitations, the seed of promise hits a dead end. Isaac's mother of Sarah, Rebecca, who mothered Jacob, Rachel, who mothered Joseph, Samson's mother, who was unnamed, and then Samuel's mother, Hannah. But even in the New Testament, we are given with this barren woman that Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, this impossible task that only God could fulfill. And yet, and then when we get to the New Testament, the seed of promise comes through a barren woman, Mary. The impossible comes possible. That great day of celebration when Isaac was brought back to the tent. He was probably born in the tent. But this great day when Isaac finally was here. The promise was in their hands. This great feast was thrown after he was weaned. We'll look at this next week. Samuel Rutherford says that I have charged my soul to believe and to wait for him. And will follow his providence, not to go before it, nor stay behind it. To believe and to wait. However, God can take a barren woman, a woman which he says, shall I have Eden? Flourishment. This barren woman. And he brings forth life. This is nothing new. It will be nothing new. God in the beginning took dirt and breathed life into it. He made something lifeless and now it has life. But even now in new birth, God can take our cold heart, our sinful hearts, and make them born again. To take a dead man who's dead in his trespasses and sins, and make him alive in Christ. Make the blind, wayward sinner turn from sin and adore Christ. This is the impossible task. People ask the question, do miracles happen today? Yes, all the time when a sinner turns and repents. This great feast that occurred when the aged hands with many times around the sun, the wrinkled hands of Sarah and Abraham held the young Isaac's hand. So too, a great feast happened when a sinner turns and repents. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And 25 years is a long time. 25 years is a long time to wait for a child. The clock continues to tick. You don't get younger. It becomes more and more of an impossible task. And for some of you, you know what it's like to be waiting 25 years or more. However, in this time, we still wait. We hold fast to the promises until those promises become reality. We continue to pray that God's will would be done. We continue to pray for our wayward children to come home. We continue to hope for that day when we see Jesus face to face in all of His glory and all of His splendor, when we bow down before Him and worship and adore Him, when our sins are finally washed away and our tears are finally wiped from our face. We continue to trust God and His Word even though we have sought to achieve His Word and promises by our own accord. And we know that the promises are worthwhile. And that is why you wait for them. You don't wait for something that is not worthwhile. You only wait for something that's worth waiting for. And here we see the promises which were given to Abraham 25 years earlier. A sliver of that promise is answered when Isaac is born. But there's even greater promises which took even longer to happen in the Bible. And we still wait today for Christ to return. For all those promises in the Bible to finally be fulfilled. And we wait and we trust in the same God who answered Abraham and Isaac's prayer. The same God who promised to Abraham, to Sarah, that He would bring forth a son. And He did. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks unto You. We praise Your holy and mighty name. Lord, we give thanks to You that Your promises happen in Your time and not ours. We give thanks and praise to You that Your promises happen in Your way and not ours. And Lord, we give thanks and praise to You that Your promises are worthwhile. Lord, help us to be patient. Help us to wait and to trust in You. Let us look upon Your many answered promises which You have fulfilled to Your people in the past. Let us hold fast to Your promise in the future. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com. Seven Springs Presbyterian Church began in 1874 and is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Glade Spring, Virginia. Please join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for His glory and His gospel.